Welcome to Yahweh.name. The Messiah is mentioned in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of unmerited favor, or grace, and the supplications, and of supplications, and they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Chapter 13 of Zechariah, verse 4, And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophets shall be ashamed, every one of his vision, when he has prophesied, in other words, when he has prophesied falsely. Neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive, but he shall say, I am no prophet. I am no prophet, I am a husbandman. For man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. And one shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thy hands? What are these wounds? W-O-U-N-D-S. What are these wounds in your hands? Then he shall answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Verse 8, It shall come to pass that in all the land, saith Yahweh, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left. And I'll bring the third part through the fire, and refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, It is my people, and they shall say, Yahweh is my mighty sovereign. Zechariah 14, Behold, the day of Yahweh comes, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of that city shall be going forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall Yahweh go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. So Yahweh shall do this, the spokesman of these scriptures, Yahweh, YHVH. His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a great valley, and half of the mountain shall be moving toward the north, half of it toward the south. See also Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. And you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azael, or Ezeiah. You shall flee like as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And Yahweh, my sovereign, shall come and all the saints with thee. See 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Yahweh shall come and all the saints with thee, and it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which Yahweh shall be known, or rather, which shall be known to Yahweh, not night nor day, but it shall come to pass that at eventime it shall be light. And in that day that living water shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinter sea. Now here's the two seasons. In summer and in winter shall it be. And Yahweh shall be sovereign over all the earth in that day, or king, it says here in the King James. King over all the earth in that day shall there be one Yahweh, and his name one. Praise the Father of all, who changes not. With him there is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. He is high above all, he is exalted. He is to be praised and esteemed, and he sent his Spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh, the separated Spirit. Kadosh is separated from all the religions, the confusion, the Babylonian religions of the world. The Ruach, the Spirit, Ruach HaKadosh. And we celebrate that feast day too, commonly called Pentecost, but we celebrate that first fruits. After 50, the count of 50. So let's look here in Leviticus chapter 23. And centering mainly on 15. But we'll start at verse 10. 23:10, speaking about first fruits. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof. So, first of all, of course, we have to have the harvest. It's not last year's molded harvest, or it had been kept in an icy cave. It's this year's ripe harvest. When we reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. So whatever time of year that this falls, when the harvest is reaped. And you shall wave the sheaf before Yahweh to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. That's important. The morrow after the Sabbath. And you shall offer that day when you wave the sheaf a he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto Yahweh. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deals. Now this is in the Old Covenant instructions that were given during that portion of the law of sin offerings, for example, burnt offerings. The meat offering shall be 2/10 deals of flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto Yahweh for a sweet savor. And the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of a hin. And you shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the selfsame day that you have brought an offering unto Yahweh. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. And very important now, verse 15, And you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, after the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall you number 50 days, and then you shall offer a new meat offering unto Yahweh. You shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. And they are the first fruits unto Yahweh. Other scriptures having to do with the same subject, the first fruits, or Pentecost, is Numbers 28:16, Numbers 9:9, Exodus 28:15. Okay. And it's a time of repentance. But here in Acts chapter 2, the same feast. This is after Calvary. After Messiah died on the stake at Calvary. After, and was in the grave 3 nights and 3 days. And then long after that, at least 50 days, if not 50 days from the waving of the sheaf, when the harvest is ripe. So Acts chapter 2 now. And when the day of first fruits, or it says in the King James and other modern versions, the day of Pentecost, or Feast of Weeks would be another name, when the day of first fruits was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. See Exodus 20:18. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with a Ruach HaKadosh, or it says Holy Ghost here, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews. There were dwelling Jews there, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because they, every man, heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these Galileans? And how hear we every man in his own tongue wherein we were born? So this is a special gift. Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of Yahweh. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What mean this? And then verse 16, But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that it shall come to pass in the last days, saith Yahweh, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of Yahweh come. And it shall come to pass that whoever shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be saved. I mention this Acts chapter 2 to point out that this is after the death, burial, and resurrection of Yahusha the Messiah. And yet they are still keeping the Feast of First Fruits, the Feast of Weeks, right there. I'm not taking the time necessarily to explain the sequence of timing there. That has been done on other programs that we have on YahvehYahweh.name. Acts 13:42. Even the Gentiles praise Yahweh. In Acts 13, when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath day. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and proselytes, the religious proselytes, followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the unmerited favor of Yah. And the next Sabbath day, they hear the Gentiles are keeping the Sabbath day. The next Sabbath day, it's not the year of Jubilee or the seventh year land release. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of Yahweh. The Jews saw the multitudes that they were filled with envy and spake against those things that were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming them. Then Paul, or Shaul, and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of Yahweh should first have been spoken to you, to these so-called devout Jews. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so has Yahweh commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and magnified the word of Yahweh, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of Yahweh was published throughout all the region. And verse 50, the emissaries, or disciples, were filled with joy and with the Ruach HaKadosh. This is interesting that they were keeping the Sabbath. In Exodus chapter 20, back in the earlier scriptures, called the Pentateuch, or the Torah, as well as we are reading there in Leviticus 23, that also explains the Sabbath day, but just briefly touching on the Exodus chapter 20, the 10 decrees, the Decalogue. It says in verse 8, 20 verse 8 of Shemot, or Exodus, remember the Sabbath day to keep it pure. Now it's a certain day, the seventh day. Remember that date, though, the Sabbath day. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh, thy Yah. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, daughter, manservant, maidenservant, nor cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days Yahweh made heaven and earth, so there's no way that this could apply to the first day of the week. It definitely applies to the concept of the memorial of creation, the Sabbath day. In 6 days Yahweh made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore Yahweh blessed the first day of the week. No, that's wrong. Wherefore Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart. Also see Hebrews 4:4. Wouldn't it be unusual for me to take that out and say, well, you know, I don't really prefer that commandment. I really like the these others here. I don't really care for honor thy father and mother, but I like this one here. Thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal or bear false witness against thy neighbor, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, maidenservant, his ox, ass, nor anything that is his neighbor's. I could say that, well, I prefer those instead. Or I prefer some of these judgments. Exodus 21, 16, the next chapter. He that stealeth a man and selleth him, and he that curseth his father and mother shall surely be put to death. What if I were to be just very, very particular about that? Whatever the word is. Very selective. And I just selected certain ones, but I wanted to diminish some of the commandments, like, for example, in the newer scriptures, you cannot find this one repeated from Exodus 20. And let's see if I can find the exact verse here. Well, let's go with 20 verse 3. Thou shalt not have other Elohim before me. Okay, that's not the one I was thinking of. There it is, verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of Yahweh in vain, for Yahweh will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. So that's mentioned in Proverbs, chapter 30, verse 9. But it is not found in the newer scriptures in the so-called New Testament. But I cannot be selective and just decide that I'm not going to keep some of these commandments, but I will keep others. That's not up to me or for anybody on this earth to decide that. Let's go to Hosea chapter 11 about repentance next. There's also the concept of national repentance found in Joel chapter 2 or Amos chapter 5. But here we go to Hosea. And at this point, I also wanted to mention the contrast between the fake celebration of Passover, Easter, or Ashtoreth, and Yahweh's real Passover, the actual Pesach, or Passover, of Yahweh, that we should keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments. We cannot be selective and say, well, I'm going to obey this part, but not that. So that's just repeating what I said, of course. So I'm looking for Hosea 11. There it is. So no more of that selectivity. People are way too selective sometimes. Maybe we all do that. Maybe we do. Let's see. Okay. Hosea 11, and I'd like to read that for you. At least I'm skipping through there. It has 12 verses, but we go with 11 verse 1 of Hosea. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called him. Excuse me. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. As they called them, so they went from them. They offered unto Balaam and burned incense to graven images. I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I healed them. I drew them with cords. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. Yahweh is saying, I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. He shall not return unto the land of Egypt, but the Assyrian shall be his king, because they refused to return. So here it is, the section about repentance. Because we refuse to do something doesn't necessarily mean that Yahweh is going to ignore our behavior. And the sword shall abide on his cities and shall consume his branches and devour them because of their own counsels. So the branches could be symbolic of the umbrella ministries, people who are not necessarily in the centerfold of the convocation of believers. Verse 7, the next verse, and my people are bent to backsliding. My people are, backwards. They're bent to backsliding from me. Though they call them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Yisrael? Now shall I make thee as Admah? And my vision here is lacking on that. I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim, for I am Yahweh. I am not man. I am the separated one in the midst of thee. I will not enter into the city. They shall walk after Yahweh. He shall roar like a lion. When he shall roar, then the children shall tremble from the west. He shall tremble as a bird out of Egypt, and as a dove out of the land of Assyria, and I will place them in their houses, saith Yahweh. Ephraim compassed me about with lies. So that's us. That's the, you know, that's a lot of the false religion out there. A lot of us in America. Ephraim compassed me about with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit. But Judah yet ruleth with Yahweh, and is faithful with the saints. Oh, how I love that about the need to repent. I ran into a nice couple today, and one, she was Africa. Africa was her name. And she said, please minister to me. So I say hi to you, Africa. And I want to minister about repentance today, using the scriptures from Hosea, talking about the future. This has not been fulfilled yet. In Hosea, the next chapter, chapter 12, Ephraim feeds on wind and follows after the east wind. He daily increases lies and desolation, and they make a covenant with the Assyrians, and oil is carried into Egypt. Yahweh also has a controversy with Judah, with Yehuda, and will punish Yaakov, or Jacob, according to his ways, according to his doings, will he recompense him. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with Yahweh. Yea, he has power over the messenger, and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. Even Yahweh of hosts, Yahweh is his memorial. Hosea 12:5. Even Yahweh of hosts is his memorial. We have the Yahweh's memorial, or some call that the Lord's memorial. Therefore, thus, and we don't use the word normally, therefore, turn thou to Yahweh, to thy Yahweh. Keep mercy and judgment, and wait on Yahweh continually. He is a merchant. The balances of deceit are in his hand. He loves to oppress. And we must be talking about Ephraim here. Ephraim said, yet I am become rich. I found me out substance, and all my labors they shall find none iniquity in me. That is sin. Oh, no. Yahweh's going to find that out. He's going to find out and burn out the dross. He will thoroughly purge his threshing floor. Yes, he'll burn out the chaff. Verse 9. I think I was quoting there from Matthew chapter 3, I believe. And I that am Yahweh, thy mighty one from the land of Mitzrayim, or Egypt, will yet make thee to dwell in tabernacles, as in the days of the solemn feast. Hallel Yahweh. And verse 14, that we have, no, we have resurrection scriptures next. In 13, 14 of Hosea, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from my eyes. So the way that's written there, it almost sounds like that he's not going to watch us repent. But I think what it possibly means is that he's not going to see us having to repent, because we will no longer have that proclivity, or that character that would fall back into sin continually. And we don't have to keep picking up and asking for forgiveness and repenting over and over and over and over. Because Yahweh's Spirit is going to be with us, according to that next book, Yoel, that comes right after Hosea. And then chapter 14, O Israel, return unto Yahweh, thy Yah, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words, and turn to Yahweh, say unto him, take away all iniquity, and receive as graciously, so will he render, we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us, we will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, you are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I'll heal their backsliding, I will love them freely, for my anger is turned away from him. And verse 8. That's 13:8, the last chapter. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree for me, or rather from me is thy fruit found. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Who is prudent, and he shall know them? For the ways of Yahweh are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. So there's about repentance, there's about idolatry. Those are some of the subjects mentioned. And in the next book, and in the next chapter, Joel 2, and also Amos 5, talks about national repentance there. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Oh yes, you know, we have to enter in through the gates of the city, into the great presence of Yahweh. We have to enter through the gate and be filled with the Spirit. Hallel. Praise to Yahweh. How about Joel 2:10? The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And Yahweh shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For he is strong that executes his word. For the day of Yahweh is great and very terrible, or very great. And very awesome, in other words. And who can abide that day? Therefore also now, saith Yahweh, turn you even to me, with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rent your heart, not necessarily your garments, and turn unto Yahweh your Yah, for he is gracious, or splendid, and merciful. He is merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repents him of the evil. Who knows if he will return and change his mind, or who knows if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him for us. And then the meat offering and drink offering unto Yahweh. Let us offer him the calves of our lips. Let us offer, present ourselves to Yahweh as Romans 12 says, you know, to offer our bodies, even our life, and everything we have in our life as a living offering, pure and acceptable unto Yahweh, for that's just our reasonable service. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the peoples, set apart the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, those that suck the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and let the bride out of her closet. So the Messiah is coming, the bridegroom, when he has prepared those mansions for us, will come out of his chamber, and we, the bridegroom, hopefully wearing the garment of righteousness of his shed blood for our sins, for our transgressions, we will come the bride out of her, yes, out of the closet. Yet let the priests, the ministers, yeah, not in the wrong context, though, we'll come out of our closet as well. Let the priests, the ministers of Yahweh, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Yahweh, and give not thine inheritance to reproach. You know, we don't want to defile the land. Do you know that Yahweh gave us this land? This land is mine, he said, in the land of Yisrael. That is his land, and yet we defile it. We give it away to the Romans, to this and to that. You know, and he is somewhat, he is particular about his chosen people. Give not thy heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God, or where is Yahweh? Then will Yahweh be zealous for his land and pity his people. Yes, Yahweh will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn, wine, and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith. And I will make no more make you a reproach among the heathen. But I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hinter part toward the utmost sea. And his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he has done great things, or done terrible things. Next verse, 21, Joel 2:21. Fear not, O Yahweh, be glad and rejoice, for Yahweh will do... Oh, excuse me. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for Yahweh will do great things. Be not afraid, you beasts of the field, so that could refer to Gentiles, the beasts of the field. For the pastures of the wilderness do spring up, for the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Fig tree often representing the nation of Israel. So these are the harvests. Fig tree, vine tree, the vine rather. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in Yahweh, your mighty one, for he has given you the former rain moderately. Oh, what a blessing to have that spiritual as well as physical, wonderful, blessed creation of Yahweh. The rain, isn't it? Sounds so soft and comforting and makes us relax and want to sleep. But this is the spiritual, the former rain, and moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. Oh, it's a time of harvests. And I'll restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of Yahweh. Yes, that has done wondrously. Praise Yah. And my people shall never be ashamed, and you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, that I am Yahweh, your mighty one. That's a signature, the I am. And the mighty one, your sovereign, and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. See back to verse 2. And also upon the servants and the handmaids in those days I will pour out my spirit. I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood, fire, and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and the awesome or the terrible day of Yahweh comes. See Matthew 24, verse 29. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the substitute name of Yahweh, L-O-R-D, no, that's Baal, but whosoever shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be delivered, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as Yahweh has said, and in the remnant whom Yahweh shall call. See again Acts 2:16 and Acts 4:12 about the coming of Yahweh. A great time. We want to be with him in that first resurrection. And I'm going to try to point that out again. Acts 4:12, calling upon the name of Yahweh and be saved. There, let's see, Feast of Unleavened Bread, there found in Acts again. And, well, I'm going to be all over the place here if I do this, but Feast of Unleavened Bread mentioned, by the way, going back to the feast, Pesach, Acts 20, verse 6, we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread. And came into Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. So that included one of the Sabbaths. And upon the first of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart in the morrow, and continued his speech till midnight, that famous passage. This is written in about 60 A.D., 60 B.C.E., there, about the Feast of Unleavened Bread, so that's way after the death, burial, and resurrection of the true Messiah. And then I was going to 4:12 of Acts to wind up there for a moment. It's at least after A.D. 35 and probably A.D. 60. So 4:12 says, 4:11 says, this is the stone. So speaking of, be it known unto you, in verse 10, be it known unto you and all the people of Israel that by the name of Yahushua HaMashiach of Nazareth, whom you impaled or crucified, whom Yah raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. The impotent man standing there in verse 9. Before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. The stone referring to the Messiah, the rock. The stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Also see 22:16 there. Calling on the name of Yahweh seems to be paramount. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be immersed, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of Yahweh. Hallel Yahweh. Of Shavuot, or Feast of Weeks, that happens in the summer, 50 days from the wave sheaf, when the harvest is ripe there. But we want to return to Yahweh. We don't want to return to idolatry. You know, we need the true spirit, the spirit of truth. So we are going to 14 now. Verse 3, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of it? Of it all by them? Also see 8:18. Speak unto them and say unto them, Thus saith Yahweh, every man of the house of Israel that sets up his idols in his heart and puts the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face comes to the prophet. I, Yahweh, will answer him that comes according to the multitude of his idols. See also 33:31 about idolatry. And this is a matter of the heart, of our relationship with Yahweh. People say, well, it's not a matter of law, it's a matter of relationship. Oh, the two go hand in hand. That's Yahweh's honey-do list, the commandments, statutes, and judgments. If we love him, we keep his commandments. 1 John 5, and also 1 John 3. Say unto the house of Israel, thus saith Yahweh, repent, and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away from your faces from all your abominations. You know, in many of the large, huge denominations in America, the beer limit is, I think, is 3. No more than 3 beers. I don't know what alcohol content that is. But what happens when marijuana is legalized? That's right. Drugs and idolatry brought into the houses of God there, as they would call it. Ezekiel 14:7, for any one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourns in Israel, which separates himself from me, and sets up his idols in his heart, and puts the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and comes to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, Yahweh, will answer him by myself. And I will set my face against that man, and will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and you shall know that I am Yahweh. And if the prophet be deceived when he has spoken a thing, if the prophet is deceived when he speaks a thing, I, Yahweh, have deceived that prophet. Now, you don't have to do that. You don't have to be deceived. That's a choice that you make to allow this deception to come. So it's not Yahweh. You know, you're not irresponsible, or you can't blame it on the devil for giving one deception about prophecy and idolatry. And they shall bear the punishment of their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be even as the punishment of him that seeks unto him, that the house of Israel may go no more astray from me, neither be polluted any more with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people, and may be their, and I may be their Yah, or I may be their sovereign, or it says here G-O-D, saith Yahweh, Yah, the sovereign. And the word of Yahweh came unto me, Son of man, when the land sins against me by trespassing grievously, I'll stretch out my hand upon it, and break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Yes, that's severe. Right now, in the year 2015, keeping track of man's time, right now that they are having severe water rationing, emergency rationing, in the month of April. Even in the Pacific Northwest. Oh, what a feast that was. Up there in the Mount Hood area, a feast of Pesach for 7 days. And the gathering together with people, I gathered. I'm departing now from Ezekiel there, and I think we're going to go on to wind up here. But I'm going to wind up in Zechariah chapter 8, about that last great day. So that's another feast that is typifying the future times, and it's the so-called Old Testament, Zechariah 8. We'll do that. But I did have the blessing to get together with some people there in that area of the northwest of the Cascades, and wow, they at Kahiyat HaMashiach, or sometimes abbreviated by KHM, Pastor Al there ministered, as he usually does, in very profound ways, and obviously he's got a lot of skills and background, and did some study there. So on the Sabbath we met, I think that was on the last day of unleavened bread, and the people were just travailing in prayer. I just love that. And there was one man from Poland there, Jerry, who was praying, and I think there was some prophecy in there too, and it just brought us down on our knees so humbly to hear and to join in that prayer with Brother Jerry there, who was probably just like me, seeking Yahweh. He's not perfect either. We're seeking the Almighty. Zechariah 8, verse 1. Again the word of Yahweh of hosts came to me, saying, Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and was jealous for her with great fury. Jealousy can be a good thing. Thus saith Yahweh, if it's used right, Thus saith Yahweh, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of Yahweh of hosts, the separated mountain, or the Kodesh mountain. Verse 7, Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, Behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their mighty one, in truth and in righteousness. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, Let your hands be strong, you that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of Yahweh of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. Before these days there was no hire for man, nor any hire for beast. Neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in because of the affliction, for I set all men, every one, against his neighbor. See also 2 Chronicles 15. But now I will not be unto the residue of this people as in the former days, saith Yahweh of hosts, for the seed shall be prosperous. The vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their due, and I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. And it shall come to pass that as you were a curse among the heathen, O house of Yehuda and house of Israel, so will I save you. I will save you, and you shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. For thus saith Yahweh of hosts, As I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith Yahweh of hosts, and I repented not, so again have I thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and to the house of Yehuda. Fear not. These are the things that you shall do. Speak you every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates, and let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor. Love no false oath, for all these things I hate, saith Yahweh. Love no false oath. All these things that I hate, Yahweh says, also in the previous chapter 7, verse 10, And oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. Zechariah 7:10. Now, going ahead to Zechariah chapter 13. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. A fountain shall be open. Wonder what that is, huh? John 1:29, yes. The fountain of life, the river of life, flowing out from him, making the lame to walk and the blind to see. And it shall come to pass, as I was quoting there from a song, it shall come to pass in that day, saith Yahweh of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. So the Baal name, the Lord name, is going to be forgotten. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land, and it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, Thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of Yahweh. And his father and mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesieth. See the Torah, Deuteronomy 18:20. It shall come to pass in that day that the prophets shall be ashamed every one of his vision when he has prophesied, neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive. But he shall say, I am no prophet, I am a husbandman, for man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. And one shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thy hands? Then he shall say, These are they which, or rather those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith Yahweh of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Matthew 26:31. and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in the land, saith Yahweh, two parts therein shall be cut off, two parts cut off, and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, It is my people, and they shall say, Yahweh is my sovereign. Behold, the day of Yahweh cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. Chapter 14. I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken. The houses, and we read this earlier, the houses rifled and so on. And verse 4, his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. Verse 5, D, and Yahweh my sovereign shall come, and all the saints with thee, or all the believers. See 1 Thessalonians 4:13. And then, of course, in the latter, or the last part of Zechariah, or Zechariah 14, verse 16, it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem, shall even go up from year to year to worship the sovereign, to worship the king, Yahweh of hosts, and to keep the feast of tabernacles. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the king, Yahweh of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. See Psalm 86, verse 9. And while I'm turning, I want to thank you very much. Psalm 86, verse 9 there. Thank you so much for joining me, Stefan Yah, here on this program. And to our new listeners, our email is Stefan Yah, 86 verse 9, Stefan Yah at yahweh.name. Psalm 86, verse 6. Give ear, O Yahweh, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the kings, it says gods here, among the rulers there is none like unto thee, O Yahweh, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Yahweh, and shall magnify thy name, not glorify, because that's one of those 50 corrupt words that we pointed out there on the come out of her, my people, the Yahweh file. And all nations shall come and worship before Yahweh, and shall magnify his name. For thou art great, and doest wondrous things. Thou art Yahweh alone. Teach me thy way, O Yahweh, and I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Yahweh, my mighty one, or sovereign one, with all my heart, and I will glorify, or magnify, rather, thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O Yahweh, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set before thee, and have not to set thee before them. So they don't seek Yahweh first. And then verse 15 is next. But thou, O Yahweh, art a sovereign one, full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thine handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Yahweh, has helped me and comforted me. Or it says, hope in me. So that's Psalm 86. Psalm 84 is a feast psalm for those of you keeping the second month of Unleavened Bread Passover. I'd like to read that for you. And also for that special one I met on, and miraculously, as it were, on a feast day. Psalm 84, verse 9, Behold, O Yahweh, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. A day in thy courts is better than a thousand days. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my mighty one than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For Yahweh, sovereign, is a sun and a shield. Yahweh will give unmerited favor and splendor. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Yahweh of hosts, or Yahweh of armies, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. I like the way that's written, too, here in the King James. Very beautiful, very respectful, and very poetic. Mercy and truth, that's 85:10 of the Psalm. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth. Righteousness and peace kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, Yahweh shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness, being in Yahweh's perfect will, righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. Psalm 85, I've never quoted it to that effect. Yes, carnality just brings us to more being puffed up, more like the world, and not being like Yahweh, not being righteous in his kingdom. If we get into the worldly beat, the carnal attractions, the carnal media in the world, it keeps Yahweh away from us because we separate ourselves from him by not only disobeying his word, but just by having the wrong attitude, by taking things so light, being flippant about our position before Yahweh. We need to recognize that he is the sovereign one and recognize the authority of Yahweh, the Father, above all, and to recognize the authority of his word. The final word is Yahweh, not some sort of a extraterrestrial, spiritualistic thing, but Yahweh's word, right down to the where the rubber meets the road. So we don't want to use carnality to attract people to Yahweh. I don't need it. I cut my tooth on leisure and entertainment in the world, but I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind through Yahweh's spirit and coming from his word and getting ready for what great things are to come, and being thankful for that, and midrashing with other people in a Hebraic sense there, not to hash it out and have some midrats or some other opinion, some trash, some midrash, and not the replacement theology of the Mishnah. I went to another assembly there, Lion of Judah, on that, I think it was that last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and they were using the Mishnah and talking about something that was totally irrelevant. I couldn't figure out what the subject was. But I'm recognizing that there are some good things in there, not to be overly critical. And I know that in that assembly that there are some really good, powerful teachings, and getting into the Spirit and praising Yahweh with all of their might, soul, heart, and their strength. And, all the Spirit that he gives us to lift him up and esteem him, Yahweh, as the Most High, as the Most Blessed One, the Mighty One, the awesome Creator, who even sustains us, who created us to be put on the earth with all these other humans and things out there and creations, wonderful things to enjoy. Well, I wanted to also encourage you to seek out some materials from giveshare.org and also from HebrewNation.net. And I don't know which source I got this book from, Hebrew Made Easy. It says copyright 2000 by Robert Hernandez. Hebrew Made Easy. Learn how to pronounce, read, and understand Hebrew. On the positive side of things, it shows us how to correctly spell Yahweh's name, YHWH, or Yahweh. And another resource is the HallelujahScriptures.com. That's Hallel, H-A-L-L-E-L, U, Y-A-H, Scriptures, S-C-R-I-P-T-U-R-E-S.com. It says, you have received without paying, give without being paid. Matthew, Matityahu 10:8. Free, not for sale, no footnotes, no man's doctrines, just the word of Yahweh for the Hallelujah Scriptures, restored Paleo Hebrew name Scriptures. Hallelujah Scriptures, P.O. Box 7625 N, Brunswick, New Jersey, 08902-7625 USA. Once again, that's P.O. Box 7625 N, Brunswick, NJ, or New Jersey, 08902-7625 in the United States. Thanks again. We lift up our congregation out there at large, on the internet, and I'm Stephan Yah on YahvehYahweh.name. May you be really blessed each and every day, and look forward to Yahweh coming quickly to the feast days, to Shavuot, or First Fruits, Feast of Weeks, and then later in the summer, at the end of summer, the Feast of Trumpets, or Yom Teruah, the blowing of trumpets. After that, the Yom Kippur, the Feast of Atonement. And then Shavuot, or Feast of Tabernacles. And then finally, Shemini Atzeret, the last great day. Oh, yeah, we are just getting excited about that there in Zechariah chapter 14. Shalom.